Blog Talk Radio.
After crushing my enemies and hearing the sweet lamentation of their weaker relatives, I am off this week to join some of our gold medal winning athletes as we celebrate our concurrent victories. Oh, yeah. So in my absence, I offer an interview I did with Rob Saul of Night Fuse Radio this past Tuesday. Winning in absentia. So remember, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And awesome never does nothing.
I bleed it out, go, stop the show, choppy words in a sloppy flow, shotgun opera lock and load, cock it back and then watch it.
Had you continued on in college,
yes,
you would have gleaned the knowledge to be able to have a discussion with my brother, Dr. Ben David Barr. However, you did not even make it a quarter in college, and because you didn't really have to try, because you knew that your mother was rich. So you went ahead and dropped out of college, and you've never had a rough day of your life, despite the fact that you let alcohol and pussy pretty much ruin your whole friggin' future. That's one definition of the word privilege, and that's kind of
I thought that was the definition of the word delusion.
No, because here's the definition of privilege.
Again,
and
you
my brother is correct, Jake.
Privilege.
I'm talking now. Listen, you were raised in a family which you know, your dad is not a smart person either.
This is a positive female role model I was talking about, everybody.
Your father is not any smarter than you are, and he doesn't listen to people either, and that is why I divorced him.
Welcome back to Night Views Radio. What you just heard was a clip from the latest episode of The Jake Pentland Show, which airs every Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on unscriptedradio.com. That was his mother, comedian and actress Roseanne Barr, calling in irate the day before her roast on Comedy Central aired to scold Jake during his interview with her brother, his uncle, where they were to debate the issue of gay parents as opposed to straight parents. Jake seems to push the buttons of not only his mother, but his guests and listeners, which is why I find the show to be so interesting. So I would like to welcome back to the show the host and the ringleader of the program, and probably the only member of Roseanne Barr's family that doesn't have me blocked on Twitter, her son, Jake Pentland. Hello again, Jake.
How are you, Al?
Good. Me and Jake were just doing an interview. I will say it now just because I got into a whole deep conversation with Jake, and then it wasn't recording. So we are.
But we worked out all the bugs,
yeah.
So I can get to the point quicker.
Yes. So we'll get to the point. Anyway, Jake's show was on Saturday. One of its best shows. And I think Jake has a great show. And it seems to me every week that the show gets better, Jake. And this one just completely blew my mind. I was listening on the bus ride home from work on the Stitcher app, and your uncle Ben Barr was on the program. And he did a study, correct, of a family study.
That's what he claims. I haven't seen it, but yeah, I mean, he wrote his dissertation on this subject. He got a doctorate at Berkeley, so.
So he had.
He says he did a study.
So he said he did it, but you were talking about a study done by somebody else, right? It's a big study that just was recently.
Yeah, the new family structure study. Just to back up, this debate about gay adoption has been going back and forth for a long time, as we all know, at least the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that everyone always says is there's not enough research. So just in the last 2 weeks, the first major study on this came out. It's the first one that's published that everyone is considering, you know, the first study. So that's why we did the show this last Saturday.
And before I get into what happened with your mom calling in, and you heard the thing she said to Jake. The issue was Jake was saying that he believes that a man and a woman is the ideal parent situation, that a kid needs both a male and female parental role in their life. And Jake was not saying that he doesn't think gay people should have kids. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I'm speaking out of school for you, Jake, but I think you find that acceptable, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You were just saying that the ideal is a man and woman parent, because a child needs both influences in their life. And it kind of turned in when your mom called in, and then the listeners and the your mom's fans on Twitter, they kind of painted you out to be like a hate monger, or you know, some kind of you know, anti-gay rights you know, ringleader on your show. But that wasn't the case. And tell me, like, what was your thought process when this was going on? Like, I mean, what the aftermath, basically, of after your mom called in and you got the reactions that you did?
Well, I love those kinds of reactions, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, between you and me, it was like fist pump time. Like, yes, this is working.
Yes.
however, there was a lot of communications that were not on Twitter and not on the show that were much more troubling for me on Saturday. I don't want to give too much away, but let's just say me and my mother continued the conversation on other mediums, and it was a very exhausting, trying, emotional day when all things were said and done.
So I know that your mom apologized to you the next day.
Yeah. I mean, she Twitter apologized.
Yeah, well, I mean, she did.
We're good. I mean, just so you know, I called her show Sunday, which you guys can listen to, last Sunday's show. I called in the second hour, and I was able then to talk for whatever reason. She
seemed very
maybe
calm.
Enough time had passed.
Yeah.
And her and I are great now. Everything's great. We're getting along. But before I called in Sunday for my show after, yeah, it was bad.
I was reading the tweets. I mean, your mom has me blocked on Twitter, but a lot of people were retweeting it. You were retweeting some of her tweets. And she was saying that you were fired. She was firing at you still. So
yeah.
What happens when you're off Twitter? Do you meet with her? Do you call her on the phone? Like, what happens from there? Do you get off Twitter and cool down, or do you immediately pick up the phone and say, what's going on?
No, I do this show, and she hears the show, but no, I'm not one to call people to start fights, believe it or not. So
yes.
When the show's done, I try and, you know, put down Twitter and the show, and I try and hang out with my wife.
Yes.
And have a nice day. I'll spare you some details, but me and my wife always talk about balancing the radio show with personal life. It's been difficult at best.
Yes.
So it's something I'm learning. So I was very careful Saturday not to let it come. Well, my mom started calling the house, and my cell phone, she started calling.
Oh no!
I didn't answer. And then it went to text, and you know, I'm not going to say what happened, but let's just say the apology on Twitter was that wasn't just the only communique we were having.
And
you know, my mom has 150,000 followers and I have 3,000. So when she says something disparaging about me, more, you know, there's one or another percentage. There's a lot more people are going to believe it than those who follow me.
Yeah.
And most of my followers are her fans anyway. So it was kind of like a PR battle that I didn't really get into. But, yeah, I did get that. Like, hey, your mom's apologizing. Be a bigger man. Don't be a wuss. They had no idea what was really happening. So, and I'll spare you the details. But, yeah, let's just say as of Saturday afternoon, I was out of work. I'm fine now.
Okay.
apparently my opinions were counter to hers, and she felt that was a personal attack. And you know, so I finally explained myself that, you know, I have my own opinions, and that they're really, you know, they're not about her, they're about me.
So do you start to lose it inside? I mean, I don't know. Yeah, we talked. Well, we thought we were on air, but we talked off air about your mom, and you said she's frequently explosive like this. But I'm listening to the show. I wonder what's going on in your head when she starts to say, you know, she takes it to, it's not like I could see that she was getting, even though I think she was falsely obtaining this, but she was getting from the conversation that you were putting down gay people, and, you know, that you're right wing. And if she were to call you names regarding to that, but she went right into you're a spoiled rich brat. You didn't finish college because you knew you had a rich mother, and and you're was the loser involved, or am I making that up? Is
I don't probably.
I don't know.
My dad's stupid.
Your dad's stupid. Okay, so I don't know. There was a lot of stuff there. I don't want to make anything up because
I mean, again, we're fine now. I love my mother to death. I would never attack her personally. I'm not going to here, but she can get a little feisty. And she's that way. I mean, it's no secret that she has a temper. When she chooses to get upset, and what she gets upset at me about is so bizarre to me. I don't understand it. So I do lose it. I do lose it.
So when she's saying these things, like, and you're on the air and you're doing a radio show and you know that you need to talk, you need to say something, and she's saying these things, what's going through your head? Is your mind just blown at this point, or are you?
No, I mean, here's the thing. I know that when somebody's mad,
yes,
I do believe this. They're rarely mad at you. If somebody's yelling at you, for the most part, they're mad at something else. They're bottling something else up. You're touching a nerve about some emotional trauma history, something like that. So part of the reason, I mean, you said this to me before, that people get so mad at me is that I seem cool-headed and I don't seem to engage or fight back. The reason that I can do that is because I don't take it personal. And it's not a choice for me to do that. I'm not doing the BS thing like, you know, modern hippies do, where they're like, let it flow in. Now I don't do any of that crap. The truth is, I know that when she was mad, when she was calling in, that she was feeling protective of her brother, and there was some past history thing going on that had nothing to do with me. So I don't get mad when she insults me or tells me, you know, I'm a loser and blah, blah, blah. The thing that upsets me more is that when I'm making a very clear and cogent argument, and she's obviously reacting emotionally, irresponsible, for lack of a better term, that all her fans seem to flood my Twitter with what a horrible son I am. That's when I get mad. I get more mad at the followers that defend that kind of behavior, because what it says to me, it's not so much people fighting with me on Twitter, because that happens all the time, I love it. It's that people are so desperate for her attention that they're willing to overlook something so obviously dysfunctional. And it doesn't matter how many times I'll make a case. It's not just about her. In general, I do this a lot, where I make a reasonable argument and then everyone gets mad. And all the crazies start teaming up together to sort of personally attack me, even though I've said nothing really that bad. Yeah. And that's what really, to answer your question, that is what bothers me.
So, but you understand. I mean, your mom is a television icon. She's, you know, people consider her, I consider her one of the greatest comedians around. I mean, that has been, that will be. I mean, she's a legend. So I think a lot of people are just agreeing with her because they want, like you said, they want her attention. And they're so, you know, their mind is so warped by the fame and the legend that is Roseanne, not the mother that is just viciously attacking her son in an anger filled rage, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, again, this is not me versus my mother. I don't look at it that way. It's just I would have this with anybody that I would fight with or have a debate with. If people are going to ignore the reality of the situation, the truth is it really doesn't make me angry. It scares me. And I know I'm going to go Godwin's Law and sound totally crazy here, but whenever a group of people ignore reality to fit an agenda, that's when bad things happen. I know that this is a small little Twitter war with my mom, so, you know, it's not Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
But that very act of saying, to me, when people were literally tweeting me what a horrible son I was, when all I said was, a kid needs a mom and a dad, and then I'm getting called a loser who dropped out of college and a trust fund baby, and my dad's an idiot, instead of people going, hey, that's kind of a weird reaction from her, they're just going to come on and attack me as well.
Yeah.
That scares me. That scares me that people literally do that for attention. I don't understand that. I've always been one to say, hey, let's stay on the topic that we're discussing here. Let's stick to the facts. There's no need to get emotional here. This is just something I'm saying, and then we can debate. I'm always trying to do that.
Now, I get what you're saying, because like I said, people are warped by your mom's fame, and they already have their mind made up that they love Roseanne Barr, and anything she says they're going to agree with. But that's the same situation as if you try to tell a Republican to vote for Obama that really doesn't even know much about Obama, they already have their mind made up that they're a Republican. And I mean, there's just no reasoning with them, and they're going to, you know, say to, like you said, without even any fact form it based on that they are that party, that they're not going to like this person, and everything they do is bad.
Well, you know, there you go. Well, now we're back on track. Nice job, because that's what I feel my mission on this planet is, even if I never get above, a lowly podcast. But the truth is, when I look at the world, and I told my mother as much on Sunday when I called her show, everyone's talking all these different problems and how to fix it, and everybody's going off. I look at it fairly clearly, I believe. And what I see the problem is very simply, people want to have an opinion for the sake of having an opinion. People don't actually want to make their own opinions up. And that's what I mean by terrifying. And I see it all the time. And what I mean by that is you'll see a news story. I mean, when I was a kid, they would report the news unbiasedly and say, here's what happened. And they would use words like allegedly.
Yes.
And now that's all out the window. It's a headline on Yahoo. It's like, hey, someone kills their mother because she's black. And then, of course, you read it and you're like, that's not what happened. But the point is, the headline got you. And then you'll go on Twitter and you'll see that headline spinning off. We saw it recently when I did the show on the Ravi case, the George Zimmerman case in Florida. I mean, you name it, people already start framing their own opinions before even looking at the facts of the story.
Yes.
And to me, that's why this country's in trouble. That's why the rich banksters and Wall Street people and idiots all around, that's why they're continually raping this country, is because we're all too busy trying to fight over an opinion that we really don't even believe in. So I see the way to save the world, basically. Let's put it mildly. The way to save the world is to have reasonable, unbiased debates, to say your case, to see the entire picture, and then make a reasonable opinion after you've looked at all the facts. That is something that used to be taught to us when we were kids. That's something that the founding fathers found this country on. That's something that every great culture agreed on, and that is dead in America. And I can prove it every Saturday on my show, and I do prove it every Saturday on my show, because I say something so innocuous, and then I get insulted by my own family for an hour straight. That is proof right there. That's what I'm trying to show. That's the veil I'm trying to pull off. This isn't about making my mom look bad or anyone. This is about everybody that gets so emotionally reactive to something so innocuous. What does that say about you? If you're getting so mad at me saying this is my opinion of an ideal, you're going to call me a hate monger and all sorts of names. That should be, that very moment you're doing that, that should be a warning. You should look at yourself when you're acting like that and go, why am I getting so angry? Why do I have such an adverse reaction to something so simple? Why am I not even listening to what Jake is saying? And nobody does that. And that's the thing. When I've done that in my life, I'm sorry, I'm going to go off for a second, Rob.
All right.
In my life, when there's been debates or something and I found myself acting like a psychopath, I've gone in the other room and taken a breath and said, you know what, obviously I'm upset at something else. And I've investigated inside myself why I reacted that way. And that's why I've grown. And that's why I will continue to grow. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I get better every week as a man because I can see my fault and I question them. Nobody else does that, it seems.
No, I mean it's that's
sorry.
Basically what life is all about. I mean, if I were to be married and have a daughter like I do now, 10 years ago, I mean, I could have never. I'd be divorced, and I mean, just to grow, and that's what I have to do. I really have to every time that I start to get out of control, I really have to question myself and ask myself why I'm doing this, because otherwise my marriage and my family will, you know, fall apart, because I can be very irrational.
Of course. I mean, we all can. I mean, literally, that's why things are bad in the world, if you want to say that. That's why this country's in trouble. Unemployment, it all links to that. It doesn't link to Obama or Romney or George Bush or anything we want to blame. Sure, they're responsible on their part. But there are 300 million voters in this country that if people wised up and checked their own bullshit at the door, these people wouldn't be in charge. So really, I'm not kidding. I know how to save this country. It's literally inward introspection and being honest with yourself. And my thing, you know, everyone always says I'm controversial or I try and make people mad. The truth is, what I'm really trying to do is I'm trying to trigger an emotional reaction from you so that you question why you have it. It's God's work, and it's not easy. And when you ask me if I lose my mind, yeah, I lose my mind daily. Because when you do that, when you walk into a room and you kick a beehive of dysfunction with people, they're going to want to kill you. And I know it's good because people do it to me. Like my mom calling in or my uncle, they say things that trigger me to react angrily all the time. On my Twitter feed, people try it on me all the time. And every time that I don't react, every time that I don't take it personal, I get stronger.
Yes.
And I love when people try and yell at me, to be honest with you. I love when people try and push my buttons. It's such a wonderful opportunity to look inward and to better myself. It's like trial by fire. I love it. And I know I sound crazy when I say God's work, but I really mean that. Not saying I'm God, but yeah. It's really...
You heard it. Jake Pentland's claiming to be God.
Yeah, no, that's what will happen next. But no, I mean, really, what I mean by God's work is everything else is just such horse crap. All this stuff really doesn't matter. All that matters is you yourself.
Yeah.
Even if you have a wife and a kid, at the end of the day, you know, it's you that has to look in the mirror. It's you. When you fall asleep, the world ceases to exist. You're the center of the universe, every single one of us.
Yeah.
So in your mind is the battle of good and evil. And if you can just control it a little, if you can just drop a little baggage every day, if you can listen to people debate without calling them names, you get better every day. It's. I don't understand why people are so freaked out about it.
I
don't understand it.
I went, I'm sure as you probably heard that on Twitter, that was my last. I've been much more calmer, and I had to. It took me a while to realize that a lot of the stuff I was doing was wrong, and the stuff I was saying was. Just fueling the fire and continue it. But I let Brody, your follower, and your sister make me go fucking berserk, and I went fucking berserk. I did. I went berserk.
Yeah, I know. Watching, I thought it was awesome personally. But let me ask you. Let's turn this on you.
Okay.
This is why, because people are like, you should block Rob and not talk to him, which I don't understand that logic.
Yes.
I mean, it's like I do really believe in free speech. No joke.
Yeah. So, were you upset that I was insulting your sister?
Again, it's like before we lost the first interview, I was saying, back up. Like I said to you before when we talked before, there's a thing I understand about people, which I call the barking dog, which I learned in martial arts, which is there's sometimes where somebody is a direct threat to you or somebody's trying to take your manhood or whatever you want to call it or out of their way to disrespect you. Intention's very important to me. If somebody is just barking like a dog, here's the deal, barking dog. When a dog wants to bite you, it doesn't bark, okay? It bites you. It goes right at you and it takes a chunk out of your leg. When it's scared or when it's working through another thing or feels threatened, it barks.
Yes.
There's a big difference. So when I see someone barking, it doesn't bother me because I know they're not really after me. They're not really they're not trying to threaten me. So, yeah, when you're calling my sister ugly, I can see how, like, you know, as a man, I should go, hey, protect my sister. But at the same time, I already saw the entire thing go down from Brody, and I know that you let me ask you this.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's how I saw it. Tell me if I'm correct.
All right,
Brody is a 15-year-old who, I loved it dearly as a follower, but he's out of his effing mind.
Yeah,
and he's a disrespectful little asshole.
Yeah.
And he does it to get attention, and it works for him.
Yeah.
So there's a point where he'll do it, he'll do it, and he'll do it, and there's different ways to handle it. The way I handle Brody is I don't engage with the barking dog, and plus I think it's funny a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's funny, I just let it get. I'm glad that that's what I said. You can remain so calm, but yeah, I went nuts. But go ahead, continue. What were you going to ask me?
Well, the way I read it as,
yeah,
my sister came on and started talking about how you shouldn't get upset at a 15-year-old because you're the adult and he's a kid. And I watched that, the whole thread from the beginning. And I've said many times in the air, which another time my sister called in to yell at me, is that just because someone is a kid, they still need to be responsible for their actions. And if you constantly make excuses for assholes, they're going to grow up to be bigger assholes. Sometimes you've got to shoot them down.
That's what I said.
And I told Brody as much. So I'm seeing you going, wait, I'm supposed to let a 15-year-old just talk to me this way? Which I think is a logical question to ask. I wasn't upset at you at that point.
Yeah.
Plus, Jenny and me have fought on a very similar topic many, many times about parenting.
Yes.
And I think a kid who talks like that should get his ass beat. I really do.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm seeing you say. And then I thought maybe you got upset that my sister kept talking to you about being an adult, much like I got upset Saturday when my other sister told me I needed to evolve. That's one that's really pissing me off. That's what I'm fired up about. That fucking after the show Saturday, she gets on and says, I need to evolve. Even though I went up there and said something very rational, had my own mother and uncle insult me and make shit up, but I'm the one that needs to evolve.
Evolve.
That makes me angry. And my sisters do that. They do this airy-fairy, like, oh, we're all one and we should. But they're assholes, like everybody. See, I'm an asshole, but I admit it. I don't sit here and talk about how people need to evolve. I'll say you need to look inward. I'll actually give real facts, real advice, real options, like, hey, don't react so much. But they sit there and go, evolve, like it's this fucking magical word that solves everything, and it doesn't. It's bullshit. What does that mean? If you ask them, what do you mean by that, they wouldn't give you an answer. If you press them, they would just freak out. So when I'm watching this go down, I'm thinking, Rob standing his ground to my sister saying, I don't want to let a 15-year-old talk to me. I want to shoot him down. Now, did you handle it best when you said he should, you know, he's gay and he should die of AIDS? No, but I thought it was kind of funny.
When you called my sister
ugly and fat, I don't really think you think my sister is ugly. Jenny's very pretty. I don't take that personal. And I think you were just freaked out and pissed off and you wanted to make her mad.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. You got
Am I close?
Yeah, you're very, very close. I'll tell you the trigger for me. I'll give you the trigger.
Okay.
Is that, well, there's two triggers. Which I handled both wrong, is the first trigger was I didn't mind her calling me out and said, you're a kid. And I say all the time, I was just like Brody at that age. I was out of control. I was being kicked out of school all the time. Everybody thought I was funny. I was a funny kid, but I was out of control. And I said, and you know what? People always said he's this age. What happens when you turn 18, you know?
Right.
If nobody's, you know, correcting you and saying that they're only this age, they're never going to, you know.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I think the phrase, the way she put it was, I can't believe you would talk to a 15-year-old like this. I hope you don't have kids. And I do have kids. Well, I have one kid. And I'm thinking, this, you know, bitch, I was thinking at the time. I'm not calling your sister a bitch now. And I said, I'm like, it's questioning my parenting because, and, you know, I went back and forth with her. And then I said, you know what, you're right. I'm taking this stuff way too seriously. And I said, you're right. I probably should have been the bigger person, and I am the adult. So you are correct about that. And then after she basically won and said, you know, that I said, yeah, I should have been the adult, she immediately blocked me. And then that was the trigger. That's when I went completely berserk.
You sound like me. Well, I love Jenny. I love my family to death. But again, there's no one gets out of this world alive, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's got their own little triggers and baggage.
Yeah.
That goes without saying. But the thing that Jenny does get on me a little bit is this. It's she can be a little holier than thou. And I have a problem with that. That's my trigger. And it's not really Jenny, because Jenny's a great parent. She's a great big sister. I mean, she really is. But it's more a trigger, maybe that's emotional baggage from my mother, but I'll tell you, one of my triggers is when people get up when they're clearly wrong,
mm-hmm.
and then sort of do this condescending, like, you need to evolve, or you need to understand things. But that's what makes me mad. Not that you're stupid and you dropped out of college and your dad's an idiot. That's like, to me, that's meaningless. But that whole arrogance of acting as if you're further advanced than me. That is just so disrespectful.
Yeah. You know, you
and I do it all the time, but I do it because I know it pisses me off. I do that. I admit I do that.
Yeah.
But I do it to piss people off.
Yeah.
But I'll come on and go, yeah, well, I'm a winner and I'm better than you. I know that that's a trigger, but my sister, I think she really believes it sometimes.
Yeah. You know, I think you put it.
This is like therapy. This is the worst interview I've ever done. I'm so sorry.
No, it's good. I mean, but no, actually, you're making a lot of sense to me because the rants I've been going on about your sister, you saying that, I realized, like, yeah, that's what I was getting. Like, she thinks she's better than me. She's got this holier-than-art attitude, and, you know, fuck her. And I'm getting, you know, and I don't react as calm as you. I get all like, you know, fuck you. What are you thinking? I get out of control sometimes.
Yeah. Well, again, see, this is the purpose of Jake telling why I'm God on Earth and incarnate. I'm just kidding. see, that this discussion we had here, Okay, I could have come at you like everyone told me to, like you should go beat Rob up for disrespecting your sister.
Yeah.
Within 30 seconds, you and I both had an honest exchange about that we have emotional baggage and we were triggered. And because we had this conversation, I guarantee you next time someone does that, you'll now know, because we talked, that you respond and react to somebody acting holier than thou.
Yeah.
So now if somebody comes at you and says, oh, you're an idiot, it's not going to piss you off as much, because now you're going to know, wait a minute, that's not what pisses me off as an insult. It's that holier than thou.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you can start focusing your anger. Then the next step would be, who in my life acted holier than thou? Because that's what you're reacting to.
Yes.
If maybe it's your parent, let's say. I mean, I'm not going to psychoanalyze you, but let's just say, for sake of an argument, one of your parents was like that, because it was for me.
Yes.
Then you go, well, okay, well, probably having this parent constantly condescend and disrespect me is going to make me angry. Now I understand why I'm angry. Then the next step is, well, it's not really Jenny I'm mad at. So then next time she does it, you're not really going to get mad. That's what I'm talking about. That, like, when I say God's work inside your head, that's what anger does and why I love anger so much. Because anytime you're angry and you're about to write those tweets like someone should die of AIDS or they're fat and ugly, that moment right there is such a gift. It's such a gift. If you look at it right, your brain is telling you they're picking a scab that you need to look at. Because if it doesn't bother, if someone came up and said, I'm a horrible black person, let me ask you this, Rob. If my sister said you were a horrible black person, would you have got mad?
No, I probably would have laughed.
Because you're not black.
Yes.
Now, if somebody says you're, you know, I hope you don't have kids, well, now you're going to be pissed because you do have a kid. Now
yeah.
They're going after your parents. So the very instant that you're defensive is your body telling you, your brain telling you, that there's some truth there. At least there's some truth to the fact that you feel threatened. So all these triggers are coming up. I tell people all the time, pay attention to those. Don't ignore it and write it off and go, oh, screw her, she's a big fat pig. Go, okay, she is getting on my nerves for some reason. And really investigate. And you'll find, if you do it, if you're honest with yourself, and you really trace it back to wherever it comes from, let's say it was a parent, you can get over it right now. And tomorrow, you have that baggage is gone. You've dropped another suitcase, so to speak.
Wow.
And I love that. To me, that's like, I shouldn't say God's work.
Yeah.
That's the reason to be alive. Everything else, a car, money, fame, and all those hideous fat sycophants that follow my mother and attack me, they're idiots because they think that's the meaning of life. The meaning of life is not that. The meaning of life is to learn who you are, to drop the baggage that keeps you from finding out who you really are. That's the meaning of life. And nothing should be more important than that. It shouldn't be about how hot your spouse is or how good your body is. Like, who cares? You've got enough shit to worry about in your head. So when I do a show, and I'm planning my show Saturday, this is what I think. I think, what am I going to say that's going to trigger most people to get upset? Because I really honestly believe that that's a gift that I bring every week to people.
And
I know
is.
That sounds crazy, but that's what I think.
And people love to see the on-air meltdown, or, you know, listen to the meltdowns that happen from that. And that's,
yeah.
I mean, I believe you told me in the first interview I did with you is that that's why they initially brought you over to do the show, Roseanne's Nuts, because they said they wanted you to trigger for good television, trigger your mom.
Well, because, again, that's what's fascinating, just because we all have those triggers. And it's always better to watch somebody else respond to it than you, because you don't feel the pain. You don't feel the anger. It's not touching on a thing. It's like whenever I get upset at, like, for instance, my sister saying evolve, which is making me want to literally go out and kill a hobo still to this moment, is so making me angry. Most people wouldn't understand. They would think my mom telling me I'm a stupid failure and my dad is stupid, or you saying my sister's ugly. They think that's my trigger. That's not my trigger. So when it's not your trigger, you're watching someone else, you can kind of watch it more objectively, and it's almost much more entertaining because you're not having the emotional response to it.
Yeah.
So you get to watch it sort of like, you know, you're an anthropologist, and it's much more fascinating. And I love watching people melt down. I love it. Who doesn't? But, yeah, no, that's – I mean, again, I go on the air and say that I believe it's ideal for a kid to have male and female parents, and that is a harmless statement to any reasonable or rational adult. But those aren't the people that call. Those aren't the people that listen, and those aren't the people that get upset. And those aren't the people that I can help. Rational, reasonable people won't like my show.
And by the way, I got to say, you have a set of balls on you, brass balls on you, because not only were you doing this on air, but your guest was your uncle, who is gay, and Jen was out, and filling in for her was a gay woman. And you go on air, and you're going to make an argument that you think that kids should have male-female parents, and that's healthier.
I know, it's like walking, but it's so stupid when you think about it. Like, talk about stacking the deck against yourself. But again, because I'm a complete narcissist, out-of-my-mind whack job, I think you know what, let's make some new enemies. Ready? I think gay people in this country, rightfully so, have a lot more triggers than straight people. I think that's obvious. I mean, they put up with a lot more. They have their own issues, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I was going to say that's their being. With your sexuality is basically how you live, and they're struggling to be accepted as equals to
of course.
So of course they're going to up for, especially to your opinion that you stated.
Right. and what I wanted to do, what I was hoping would come out of Saturday, although it didn't, would be that my gay uncle and my gay co-host Fallon and my mother, who's done a lot for gay rights, would be able to come away from the conversation a little less reactive. Because here's the deal. I'm harmless. I'm a giant vagina. Okay, I stay at home with my cats, and I, like, hide from the world. I'm not really – I don't have a set of bass balls on me at all. I'm a giant, giant pussy. But the people they'll face, gay people are going to come across, are going to be a lot tougher and a lot more stubborn than me. So if you can't handle your own son and your own nephew saying an innocuous statement like, I think this is ideal, that's going to make you mad. What about what happens when you go into a room full of skinheads that say God hates fags, and they're – punching their fists ready to kill you. I mean, if you can't handle this conversation with me, then you can't go outside your house. I mean, they were on the phone with me. We weren't in a room together, Rob. My uncle was up in San Fran, and my mom was in our house. Fallon's in San Diego. We're having a phone conversation.
Yes.
If that is going to make that kind of reaction, then you're not prepared to fight for gay rights.
Yeah.
So there you go. You're not going to have the world you want. You're not going to make inroads because you can't have a basic conversation. And that is the thing, man. I mean, really, at the end of the day, you've got to toughen up. Everybody's got to toughen up. If you want to go out in the world sucks sometimes. You know, life is hard. And you've got to be tough. And if you can't handle an innocuous statement from a family member, you're not strong enough to make it. So there you go.
Well, there you go, Duke Pentland. But listen, I going to the subject, I do want to ask, you about the point on the show. Because, listen, like I said, I saw the Twitter conversation go down from my phone on Twitter at work and saw what was going on. I didn't actually hear the show. So without even hearing any arguments, and I guess you may say that I could be biased because I don't know if you know this, Jake, but I was raised by my father who was gay.
I saw that in my Twitter feed Saturday.
Yes, and
I didn't know that beforehand though.
So you know, you would think, but you know, and the only thing I saw that you kept repeating is nobody's answering my question. I said, well, what's the question? And I didn't hear the show. And would you prefer if you passed away, people with kids, your answer, would you leave your kid to a gay couple or a straight couple? And I sat and thought about it, and I'm like, well, gosh, that's kind of a strange question to ask. I wouldn't mind leaving my daughter with a gay couple. So I'm like, I would have to look at, you know, money situation, stability situation. And I said, well, knowing Jake, he wants probably on an equal ground. So I said to you, I guess if it was between a gay couple and a straight couple, they both stable, both well-to-do financially, I guess I would go with the straight couple. And I wasn't even thinking of the male-female figure. I was just thinking as a kid who grew up with a out-of-the-closet gay father raising me by himself, I know the ridicule I went through. You know, everybody thought I was gay. I still have feminine mannerisms. I was raised by a gay man. I didn't have a male figure in my life. You know, so, yeah, I mean, just based on that fact alone, I thought that, I guess if it was, we're on level playing ground, both couples are well-to-do financially, both stable, good people, I guess I would go with the straight couple. And before I even listen to your show, and you know what? Why? Because it's ideal. That's what's considered the ideal, you know, family.
you have restored my faith in humanity with that statement, because, and I'm not kidding, you really are the only person that has answered it, besides Faith, who's a porn star, which I love. you're really the only one that did, and, you know, it's one of those questions. When I ask that question, that's the answer that I should get.
Yes.
It's a reasonable answer. And again, it's not saying that your dad didn't do a good job or he's gay or you hate gay. I mean, you know it because you started thinking, you thought about it. You're like, well, all things being equal, which is the very first thing I said on that show. If you go back and listen, I said, all things being equal.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if the choice is between a healthy gay couple and a couple, you know, married meth addicts, I mean, of course you're going to leave the kid to the gay couple, that anyone would.
Yeah.
So that's why you set up the frame of the question, which is, all things being equal, what do you think's better for your kid? And the only point I'm trying to make is that everyone really honestly will agree with me that that is the ideal. But people can't look past their own emotional bullshit to answer it. So what I got is that's a loaded question. I would choose the family that loved them more, and they weren't answering it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, that's a standard debate tactic is when you ask a specific question that only allows a certain answer. And, yeah, I understand that you do feel trapped. I'm not there. People are probably afraid that if they answered honestly that I would put like a sound effect going ding, 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 I win and shove it in. I get all that. But the truth is, the point is, if you really think about it, everyone would choose that, which is the point I was trying to make.
I mean, well,
so thank you.
Yeah, I think not only their own emotional issues, but I don't think anyone wants to go on record saying, I mean, like I said, I mean, you have a lot of gay folks that listen to your program and the carry
well,
on.
Not anymore.
Yeah. You know, and of course, following, you know, from you, from being on your mom's show and, you know, being Roseanne Barr's son, you gain her following, which is women and gays. And so I think that, of course, they don't want to say that's ideal because that's not how they live. They have no choice in the matter. They are gay and they are, you know, think that they should have kids, and they should. I do agree. I mean, you're just saying what's ideal. The fact is that there are loving gay parents, and I think they do, you know, great job raising their kids. You're just I don't know. I guess you're right. It's
really a harmless. I mean, if you really think about it, Rob, what I said is harmless.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really. I mean, and I keep using the term innocuous. It's harmless. It's just stating an obvious, harmless fact that people couldn't even give me because they were so reactive to it. And again, that's the whole premise of my show is if you want to go out there in the world, because most of my followers honestly are, you know, there's a lot of dysfunction in them, myself included. I think that's why people like me that do like me.
Mm-hmm.
I never claim to be healthy. I mean, I'm a hot mess. And there's no judgment. I don't judge people for their dysfunction. I expect it.
Yeah.
I know I have it. So most of my followers, you know, we joke that it's a cuckoo's nest, but most of them, you know, some of them are a little reactive, a little overreactive. And I know that. And I, between you and me, I know what a hard life that's going to be for them. I mean, if you're constantly living that way, constantly on the defense, constantly mistrusting people, like my mother, she doesn't like men. She really doesn't.
Yes.
And she admitted as much. And my Uncle Ben doesn't either. I mean, they're sexist against men. I've been saying it since the beginning. And I'm not trying to bash them and tell them men are better. I'm really just trying to say, you could have such a better life. You could have such a better experiences with people if you would open your mind to the fact that there are a lot of good men out there. I mean, you're living this life through this cracked screen. You're not seeing the world for what it is. And I think that's sad.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for you. And I really want people to move past that. I think that would be like, I just know how much better people's lives would be if they weren't so skewed, biased, you know, dysfunctional. Like, think how much better our lives would be.
I know, I agree, but for those people listening that aren't open-minded, again, we are going to say that Jake Pentland loves the gays. And,
yes, I do love the gays.
And
I think that's obvious. It should be obvious.
But
I mean, I do love the gays. I do. I love everybody. I mean, really, I love everybody. And it's because I love people that I want them to have a better life than they do.
Now, let me ask you this, going back to that subject, because you said that you think that a child should have a male and female parent in their life. And, of course, you know, you want a straight answer from when you asked that question, and I gave you that. But
no, I want an honest answer. Yeah, I mean, if somebody said I'd rather live with the gays, then explain yourself.
I didn't mean like straight. Like, I guess I chose my wording wrong. You want a straightforward answer, so I guess I should say. And everybody's saying, well, what about this and what about that? And I'm going to do that to you right now because
please do. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
Thank you.
what I want to ask is because. My answer, as you know, is growing up with a gay father and being made fun of in school and stuff like that, because people knew. That's why I gave my answer of why I thought so. But yours was the male and female thing. Would you say the situation is that both couples? Let me say, boy, I'm gonna have to edit all my stuttering here. okay, here we go.
Say.
I know. Can you believe I do live radio?
it's not easy, man. I'm like, I'll host your show. It's like, yeah, try it. It's not easy. They have no idea.
Usually it's late at night, and I'm more alert and have notes. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, do you think a couple? Where would you put a kid based on your answer of you think they should have a male and female? Parenting in their life, a happily married gay couple having the kid, or a divorced couple, male and female, where they see the male and female parent equally?
That's a brilliant, brilliant question. By equally, just make sure I'm answering this correctly.
Yeah.
You're saying they split time, like 1 week with one parent, 1 week with the other?
Yes, yeah. Or, yeah, any kind of time where they divide their time equally.
Oh. Where were you Saturday? This is an interesting conversation. God, thank you for answering.
Yeah.
I will answer. I'll give you a straight answer,
yeah.
But I would like to think about it for a second because that's a very, very good question. I do value marriage,
yeah.
And I do think that a kid is happier in a home of a nuclear family. So I would be prone to say the healthy married gay couple first, but before I give that full answer, I will say this. And I'm figuring out the answer as I talk.
Okay.
even a healthy married gay couple, it's not going to give the kid the male and female understanding that they're going to face in life. And again, the reason I'm for this, again, is because I believe a kid should be prepared for the real world. And you need to have an understanding of men and women because they are different when you become an adult. And I will ask you, you know, you said you grew up with the single gay father. I imagine your relationships with women are learning experience probably more so than someone with a mother around. I would imagine that's true. Is that true?
That's definitely true, yes.
Okay. So it's a complicated answer, but for the sake of answering straight, I would choose the happily married gay couple.
Yes.
Which I'm surprised. I'm surprised by that. And not because, you know, I hate gays, but because I'm hopeful that a happily healthy gay couple would be healthy enough to understand that kid needs a mom energy. So I'm going to answer with one caveat. And I gave you the answer, but it's really important that if I did leave my kids with a gay couple, I would tell them in the will that there has to be positive female role models, whether it's an aunt, whether they're, you know, put in school, all-girl school, or they have a girl teacher they're close to, whatever, that needs to be encouraged. Because it would be a conscious choice I'd be making to take that away from them.
Yeah.
But
and
divorced
families,
I will say, because I'm a child of a divorce,
yes.
It's rarely a healthy situation. I'm just telling you why I answered this.
Yeah.
It's rarely a healthy situation. Now, if they were a healthy divorced couple, and by that I mean they cooperated in parenting, they weren't talking bad about the children in front of each other, they split time, I would lean towards that. But the way in which you phrased the question was, the way I understood it, was a healthy married gay couple versus an unhealthy divorced couple. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I said that see each other equally that are divorced. I didn't really specify whether it was healthy or unhealthy. I was just curious of the answer.
Now I'm confused by that answer. Because there can be situations, like my parents, when they did divorce, it was uncomfortable at first. However, my dad remarried Becky, who I love dearly. My mom didn't do so good with Tom. But I did have two separate lives and two separate houses to go to, and I had my dad and Becky, who she was a very positive female role model and continues to be.
Yes.
And then I was able, when they drove me absolutely batshit crazy, to go to my mom's house and get a little break and back and forth. And I actually found for me that kind of situation was very healthy.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I guess, you know, back to what you were saying earlier, like the positive female influence, a lot of times, a lot of the dysfunction is, you know, most of the time, the majority, it's dads taking off, and a lot of kids don't have healthy relationships with their dads, and the dads take off. But I guess even in a situation like that, sometimes, most of the time, or maybe, hey, I don't know, but sometimes they find a male influence to replace them, whether it be a grandparent, uncle, you know, something like that, you know.
So, and again, that can work, yeah. But the premise I made Saturday was, what was the ideal?
Yeah.
So the ideal would be a healthy mom and dad. I will say that to the grave. But yeah, if you're, you know, there's a lot of single parents that, you know, there's a lot of parents that die. I mean, there's a lot of horrible things that happen. It's not everyone can have the perfect nuclear family. And I think that's why people got mad at me. They were saying that if you don't, they thought I was saying, if you don't have the perfect nuclear family, you're a failure. Or you're doing something wrong to the kid. That's what they were hearing. I never said that. I mean, you can't choose the perfect family. So that's why it's the premise of a debate. I mean, it's completely hypothetical when you think about it. What is the ideal?
That's all you said, is that that's what you think is ideal. And you weren't even saying you preferred this or preferred that. You just said the ideal situation is this. But most of the people took it as you saying, which is...
But your question was brilliant. And I hope I gave the I think I gave a good reason for my answer.
Yeah, because I understand what you're saying. I went into reading the Twitter conversation. I knew listening to the show to go in with an open mind, and you have to, because otherwise you go in, especially gay people and a lot of people on the left are great. I mean, which are awesome for supporting gay rights, but they're automatically, you're triggering them, saying they take from it that you don't think gay people should have kids. That's
right.
What they take from the conversation.
All right, and the last thing I'll say, because I know I keep blabbering, but I'm a proud Democrat. I have moderate views to right views on a lot of things. But at the end of the day, I consider myself pretty much down the middle, like a centrist or a moderate.
Yeah.
When you're in that, when you're in the middle, you start to see how crazy both sides are. And
yes.
Growing up left-wing, I was always fighting with right-wing and telling them this stuff. As I've gotten older and had more moderate views, I can see now that the right-wing is just as crazy as the left-wing. And all the stuff that I was accused of as a kid by conservative people I argued with, I see now that they were right. It's true. And one of the things they always say is that you can't argue with the left. Again, the right's just as crazy. But that the left acts completely, reacts emotionally. And, you know, the right wing, they'll defend their politics, and they'll try and be a little bit more logical in their argument, even though they're batshit crazy. But the left really does react emotionally. They're actually very much like children in that way. And
yeah.
I see, again, the country kind of at a crossroads and in trouble. I don't like the Republicans. I don't like what they do to the middle class. So part of me is rooting for the left to stand up and counteract this fucking post-Reagan psychosis of greed being good and screwing the middle class over, which is just happening every day hand over fist. And I keep looking for the left to grow a pair and to stand up and even things out, and they're silent. And when I go start talking to them or listening, they're like my mom and my uncle on Saturday. They don't even listen to the premise of the debate. They can't answer a question directly. When I asked them, who would you leave your kid with, they still haven't answered.
Yeah.
They've insulted me personally.
Yes.
My own family. And you start seeing that and you go, oh, this is clear. This is why this country's a mess, because the left is out of their fucking mind. And I want them to toughen up, and I want them to understand reality a little bit better, and then maybe they can, you know, protect us from the George Bushes and the Carlyle groups and the, you know, the Halliburtons, instead of just bitching about chemtrails and evolution and how we should all hold hands and pray and how everyone should be equal and, you know, look the same in the eyes and entitled. It's like, just shut the fuck up, grow a pair.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Everybody's so warped, and, you know, I don't want to go on and on, but I interviewed Jesse Ventura about a month ago, and I thought that one of his ideas was brilliant, but everybody thinks the guy's a lunatic, so, you know, there's not a lot of people taking him seriously anymore. But I think that an idea he had was brilliant, is let's not put the party on the ballots, because people are going in and they don't even – sometimes they don't even know the name, who it is. They just check based on party. Yeah, these people – you should have to get to know what a person is about, what their politics are, and their ideas before we just vote based on – and I think that's what's killing the country is the two-party system.
Absolutely. And again, my show is just a microcosm. Your show is a microcosm. But again, when you can't say something innocuous like this is an ideal situation for a kid without being lambasted as a psychopath, how do people expect the politics in this country to be reasonable?
Yes.
If you can't be reasonable yourself. So that's what we're here to do. You know, it's like, it's not just me, it's everybody. Everybody needs to look inward, question their triggers, work over themselves, learn to be more reasonable and have a conversation without reacting emotionally, and you might learn something. And you'll start to find, which I did, the more you are honest with yourself, that you don't really disagree with either party. You start to see good things on both sides. And you start to understand what they're saying, and you can look at the bigger picture. And from that, you make a more educated vote. If everybody made an educated vote, we wouldn't be in this mess.
Exactly. I agree with you.
So let's save the world, Rob.
Yes, let's save this this world. And, Jake, I just wanted to tell you, the show I thought was brilliant on Saturday. I thought it was great. I mean, even though you didn't get – it was entertaining. I know you didn't get to say everything you needed to say, and I hope you got to say most of it here. And I love Jake's show. We run commercials for it on our show. We love it. It's the Jake Pentland Show. It airs every Saturday. It's live. You can call in. He's got a chat room. It's 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time. It's on unscriptedradio.com. You can find it from there, right, Jake?
That's correct.
And before I let you go, I notice you were in the audience for the Roseanne Rose. Real quick, were you surprised about Tom Arnold?
I actually was. I mean, no one else was. I wasn't involved in the roast. So my little brother had told me, you know, maybe 8 hours before that it was going to happen, but I didn't really believe it. So I was legitimately surprised when he came out.
Did you think he was funny?
I did. I've always thought Tom was funny.
Yeah, you've told me that before.
Yeah. My problem with Tom was personal things about his behavior, but no, I've always looked up to Tom as funny, and he didn't surprise me that he was funny, and he seemed very sincere. I thought it was a great segment. However, I've been, you know, I know the man. I've been behind the curtain, and I will always doubt his sincerity. I'm not saying he wasn't or was sincere, but I'll always sort of question it. But as far as a set, it couldn't have been any better.
Yeah.
That is great.
The Twitter today. You made a joke about him, and he got upset, it seemed.
Yeah, he did. Please stop. Please stop that. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was he doesn't seem too sensitive, but which coincidentally is why your mother blocked me, because I tweeted Tom Arnold and I said, are you going to do the roast? Because he was on Howard Stern, and Howard Stern was asking him about it. So the next day I said, oh, that was a great job on Stern. I said, are you going to say yes you to do the Roseanne roast? Will you do it? And he said, maybe. And then I was blocked, and your mom told me that I was toadying up to him to bait her into a statement. I said, I'm thinking, how am I going to – Howard Stern has millions of listeners. I said, did you block Howard Stern? He's the one that was asking it. That's who would be baiting someone into a statement. My crummy show, that's not baiting somebody into a statement. I was just asking. I was curious.
My favorite thing is the calls and emails and DMs I get of, why did your mother block me? And it's just
– Yeah, who knows?
It's because that's what she does, and they always they're so confused by it, and it's like
I know,
and she's just that's just how she is.
She's
because they're trying to make like a they're trying to understand a rational decision behind there is not a rational decision behind stuff like that.
I know, and I still do. I always try to read. So then I go on because I set up another account on her email, and so I said to her after the roast. I said, okay, so let me get this straight. You blocked me for asking Tom Arnold if he would do the roast, and then you invited him on the roast. And she said, it was a knee-jerk reaction. We all do it sometimes.
Some of us more than others.
And that I then she called me an asshole on the Comedy Central account. But I love your mom. She's great. And
sure. No, she is. I mean, she is. She's a genius in a lot of ways, but just people think that you once you obtain fame and celebrity that all of a sudden all your inner demons disappear, and it's not the case. In fact, for the most part, they're magnified.
Yeah. So anyway.
So there you go. There's my happy message for the day. If you make the fame people that are all wanting fame, your life's not going to get any better. You'll just have more bullshit to deal with. So there you go.
Well, thank you, Jake. And Jake, again, is on unscriptedradio.com. He is live every Saturday afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Catch it live. You can call in. Takes calls. There's an interactive chat room. If you miss it, you can go to Unscripted Radio, catch the archives. It's available on Stitcher, where I listen to it. I love Stitcher. And thank you, Jake.
Thank you. Sorry for the rambling. I'm processing a lot of emotional stuff. So thank you for letting me do it.
No problem. We appreciate it.
All right, Ralph.